Chapter 15. Dorothy Thomas told her nephew that she had something for him. She walked back through the kitchen and into her bedroom, the room furthest away from the place where her third and final husband slept. Even though it was midday and sunny, she needed to switch on the light to see. Ron had never remembered the drapes in his aunt's bedroom being open. They were heavy drapes and contained multiple layers that kept out light and muffled sound. They also blotted out the fact that this was a basement apartment that was given to the superintendent and family rent-free. Her bedroom set was pure and polished mahogany. It glistened under the overhead light, which she switched on as she opened her closet door. Ron's eyes followed. There were two minks, one a full-length coat and the other a jacket. Next to them hung a heavy black lamb's wool coat. Dorothy pushed them to the side and revealed a stack of shoeboxes. The shoes, though not new, were in their original boxes and were still wrapped and rewrapped after each wearing into their tissue paper. Inside of one of the boxes there was a velvet pouch, tucked next to black high heels. Ron's eyes widened. It looked like treasure. She opened the pouch and removed a set of black beads. It was a rosary. She slipped it into Ron's hand and said, "Don't tell anyone I gave this to you. Your mother would have a fit." Ron's family had been staunchly anti-Catholic. When his great-grandmother had been told that she had the map of Ireland on her face, she took it as a great insult. Dorothy was actually his great-aunt. Marjorie had always suspected that she was actually her mother, but that family history had been so mangled over time that there was no way to discover the truth. Dorothy certainly wasn't going to tell anyone. Ron fingered the beads. "Why do you have these?" "When I was younger, Ronald, I used to sneak into Catholic churches. I got these so I wouldn't look out of place." Ron was astonished. He stared down at the crucifix. She had kept them all these years. She was a woman of endless secrets. "Why did you go there, Aunt Dot?" "Because they were beautiful, and I loved the stained glass windows and all the gold. Our churches were drab. I loved the smell of incense. I liked the pageantry. It was like going to a show and I didn't have to buy a ticket." Ron smiled. He wanted to ask if it had anything to do with the religion, but he didn't. He didn't want to spoil her secret by cluttering it up with facts. He slipped the beads into his pocket. She hadn't given him the pouch, which she placed back into the box and then restacked with her other boxes. Ron wondered if more strangely wonderful things were concealed in them, but she was closing the closet door and turning out the light, and they were back in her kitchen, and she wanted him to stay for dinner. Marjorie was working, and she liked having him around. "Sure," said Ron. "Go and say hello to your Uncle John," she said. Ron walked back past the birdcage and glanced down at the ceramic boxer that she kept on the floor guarding the entrance to her parlor. It was a long, narrow corridor that led back to his uncle's room. John Thomas was watching the Mets. They were an awful team, and his love had been the Dodgers. But like his first wife, they were gone, and he was stuck with this. He didn't mind the boy, but when he stayed overnight, John was forced into the twin bed in Dorothy's bedroom, which only further reminded him of what he didn't have. "Hi, Uncle John." "Hello, Ronald." John was sitting in a Danish rocker and smoking his pipe. Ron slid down to the floor in front of the couch. He hated the Mets. He was a Yankee through and through. John disliked the Yankees and had tried to explain to Ron that they bought their success. Ron didn't understand what he meant, and rested his argument on his two favorite players, Mickey Mantle and Whitey Ford.